Good morning. It's Thursday, May 28th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Victoria Regal of the Wichita band Fractured says performing the songs on the band's new album in the live setting helped her understand them more.
Just knowing what the energy in the room feels like when we play certain things in a certain order, or what might be unexpectedly high energy when you think it would feel low energy to a listener.
That's coming up after the news. A new survey shows fewer Wichitans consider downtown a safe place. People say homelessness, poor street lighting, drag racing, and vandalism are to blame. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
Wichita City Council member Joseph Shepard says it's time to reconsider the city's approach to homelessness.
We're cleaning up the encampments, we put up the 48-hour notices, and then our unhoused neighbors are back because the demand is not matching the supply of the resources that we need to actually get them into the support services.
A recent survey cited homelessness as the number one reason that residents feel unsafe downtown. Shepard wants the council to reconsider the city's camping ban. That ban is currently used to move or break up encampments in public spaces. From there, unhoused people are encouraged to seek out services at Second Light Shelter. Shepard says he doesn't believe the policy is the best way to help people. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
A panel of legislative leaders extended an emergency declaration on Tuesday as state officials continue to monitor three people who are exposed to a deadly strain of hantavirus. Governor Laura Kelly's office requested the extension until June 7th, which is when the three people can stop monitoring for symptoms. Kelly's chief of staff, Will Lawrence, says the exposed people were on a plane near someone with a confirmed hantavirus case. They are voluntarily isolating at home and have not shown symptoms. Lawrence said the emergency declaration will be key if they do develop the virus.
But if things change, if we need to transport them or anything like that, we need to have the declaration in place just so we can move quickly.
State Senator Tim Schallenberger cast the only vote against the extension. He questioned the need for an emergency declaration since none of the people have developed hantavirus. Kansas lawmakers are crafting a new funding formula for public schools, but as KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports, it could still be a while before they reach any recommendations.
Public schools in Kansas get state funding based on a layered formula set by law. That formula is set to expire in July 2027, leaving a bipartisan task force to craft a new one. Recent discussion has focused on measures of student success in Kansas, like graduation rates, assessment scores, and attendance rates. Brad Neuenswander is superintendent of Jefferson West School District in Northeast Kansas.
When you look at an individual district that has low graduation rates, there's most likely a correlation that they also have high chronic absenteeism.
Any recommended formula would need approval from the legislature and the new governor in the spring. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
With preparations for this year's World Cup well underway, the Kansas City organizers say they are in, quote, operational mode. Greg Eklund reports.
Pam Kramer, the head of the Kansas City Organizing Committee, says that citizens from 125 different countries have registered for the fan festival at the World War I Memorial in Kansas City. With team arrivals, including World Cup defending champion Argentina, anticipated for as early as next week, Kramer says Kansas City has already surpassed the doubters who questioned whether or not this area could pull it off.
When you have the reigning world champions starting their defense with the most popular player in the world in Kansas City, that makes believers out of people, right?
The Algerian team will use Lawrence as its base camp, one of four countries to train in this area, more than any other World Cup host city. I'm Greg Eklund.
Governor Laura Kelly has joined a coalition of state leaders urging the U.S. Court of Appeals to uphold a decision blocking President Trump's deployment of National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. The coalition includes Democratic governors in Kentucky and Pennsylvania, as well as 23 attorneys general. A district court has ruled the president does not have the authority to deploy the National Guard as a domestic police force. Kelly said in a statement Wednesday that ongoing deployments pose a threat to civilian authority and democratic governance. The annual Wichita River Festival returns this week with a 9-day celebration that begins Friday. The festival features concerts, activities, and food in downtown Wichita. The Sundown Parade starts at 6:30 Friday. The parade will travel along Main and Market between English and 2nd Street. Friday's concert features the Jacksons, and that will be followed by opening night fireworks. A button is required to attend all events. There's more information at WichitaRiverFest.com. A water park in Salina has temporarily closed after hazardous materials were found in the facility. Kenwood Cove has closed to public swimming and has canceled all scheduled programs. Salina officials say the park will be closed until remediation procedures are completed. They've not said what sort of hazardous material was discovered. The $15 million water park is one of the largest municipal water parks in the country. It opened in 2010. Updates on the park will be posted at salina-ks.gov or on the city's social media channels. The Kansas Department of Transportation is partnering with a nonprofit group to teach young people defensive driving techniques. The program is called BRAKES, which stands for Be Responsible and Keep Everyone Safe, and it's bringing its Teen Proactive Driving School to Wichita. Teenagers can participate in driving exercises that will teach them crash avoidance, skid control, and panic brake methods. The program is June 13th and 14th. Drivers must be between 15 and 19 years old with a valid learner's permit or driver's license. More information is on the Wichita KDOT Facebook page. And now, KMUW's Lou Ann Stevens shares some upcoming events in Wichita.
Riverfest starts tomorrow and runs through June 6th. Here are some of the events that are happening this weekend. The Admiral's Breakfast is tomorrow morning, and the grand opening ceremony is at 11:30 a.m. Tomorrow night has the Sundown Parade at 6:30, a performance by the Jacksons, and a fireworks show. The Fidelity Bank River Run is Saturday, and on Sunday it's Fiesta del Rio and Gospel Fest. The complete schedule is at WichitaRiverFest.com. The final RiverFlix movie is tomorrow. It's The Land Before Time, and it starts at 6 p.m. at the Wichita Foundation Amphitheater. Remember to bring your own lawn chairs or blankets. Walk with Wildlife is 10 to 2 on Saturday at Great Plains Nature Center and Chisholm Creek Park. Wildlife experts and enthusiasts from around Kansas will tell about the 50-plus live species of native Kansas animals. Turn it up to 11, the Hopping Gnome Anniversary Party, is Saturday at noon. It's at Hopping Gnome Brewing Company with live music, food, and beer. Twilight Tunes on the Terrace is this Tuesday from 5:30 to 8:30 at Botanica. It's live music surrounded by summer gardens. You can find out more information on the events calendar at kmuw.org.
We'll be back after this.
Tomorrow on the Range, advanced training for firefighters, plus keeping time with the sound of the town whistle. So join us on the Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. The Wichita band Fractured releases its album called Songs to Die To today. The band says its eclectic sounds are a reflection of the eclectic personalities in the band. KMUW's Jed Bodwin recently spoke with Fractured members Victoria Regal, Jay Pigman, and Nathan Smith. And here's Jed with more.
I'm curious about the songs on the album. Were these things that you have been playing live over the years, or when you do this release show, will this be the first time that we're hearing them?
We've played all of the songs live except for one, which we'll be playing live for the first time at the album release show. So all of them are, I guess you could say, like road tested.
It's been an interesting process of recording the album and, you know, being able to really flesh out the songs and do things that, you know, you're just not able to do live. Like I'm not able to just, you know, grow an extra set of arms and grab a sitar, you know, for a song and put it on there. And, you know, the harmonization, the composition and the timing of it. So that's been what's been really exciting to do with these songs that we've been playing live for quite a while now.
I love that you have these little, you know, moments across the record where we get these kind of soundscapes that connect the pieces. Nathan, did you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, we really wanted to try to get back to a whole album experience. So we have some interstitials to facilitate a full listen front to back, but then also releasing the album on CD, vinyl, cassette, eventually 8-track, maybe wax cylinder, like trying to get back to a bit of a heyday where the album was an event and an experience, and attempting to cultivate something that facilitates that. We did a 6-panel CD, so all the art is somewhat unique and rearranged for the specific format. So again, really trying to capture that, like a live music performance is fleeting, ephemeral, but physical. You can feel the sound, you're in it, you're out there with people. So giving something special for people to like have a physical manifestation of that experience, being able to hold it in their hands and attach some of those memories to something that would otherwise be fleeting.
The sequencing of the album, the way we move from song to song, I think works really well. And I know some people say that's a very labored process. It takes a lot of time and a lot of figuring and reconfiguring, that sort of thing. Was that a difficult process for you with this album?
Playing the songs live in different orders and in different set lengths and things like that also informed a lot of that for me, just knowing what the energy in the room feels like when we play certain things in a certain order, or what might be unexpectedly high energy when you think it would feel low energy to a listener, things like that.
Yeah.
And probably informed the interstitials too, once we had the order, because we definitely had the order before we had all of the transitions and things like that.
I feel like everything we do, just because we're all just very creative, but we all are also just very, you know, everything about the band, including the album, is very eclectic. So really every decision takes a while because we all kind of want to come to a group consensus on it. But as far as laying out the album, you know, we really just kind of, you know, we had all the songs on a whiteboard and the order, and I think it really only took about maybe 2 or 3 different tweaks of putting things there, and it just seemed to, even though it's very different and eclectic, it has a tendency to just have a nice flow to it. So, you know, it really came together pretty smoothly, and it never really felt like a labor trying to like jam the pieces in.
Fractured performs an all-ages show at the Brickyard tonight. The band's album, Songs to Die To, is out on digital streaming platforms and in physical format as well. Jed Bodwin hosts Strange Currency Monday through Friday nights from 8 to 10, Saturday nights from 7 to 9 on KMUW. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.